Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's July 15, 2013, and this is episode 379. Once again, I'm going to reply to a listener question this week, this time a question from listener Fred Kotler about when and how I use my tripods. I thought this would be a good chance to take a look at my current support lineup and discuss a little about why I have each of them, when I like to use a tripod, and why I sometimes decide to go handheld or now also use a monopod sometimes. Remember, if you are listening on an iPhone or iPad or in iTunes, you can view the images that I'm referencing as we go along because they'll be displayed there. Unless you're using iTunes right now, because Apple, in their ultimate wisdom, have broken the enhanced podcast format, and so we'll need to wait for an update. If that's the case, you probably will have to right-click the podcast and open it in QuickTime, and then you'll be able to see the images that I'm talking about. But always, when I put a podcast out, the way to see the images, the biggest and the highest quality that is possible, is to go to my blog, and that's always at mbp.ac and then /the number of the podcast. So for today, it will be mbp.ac/379. So just go over there, you can see the manuscript that we work with, and also click on the images to view them full screen as well. They're pretty high resolution. Okay, so first let me read out Fred's message that spurred today's episode. I'm a serious amateur photographer who has always handheld my camera. That meant I could never get decent shots in low light conditions, nor could I experiment with long exposure photography. I've remedied the problem by purchasing a top quality tripod system from Really Right Stuff, and I was hoping that you could devote a podcast episode to how you use your tripod, under what conditions you use one, and under what conditions you don't. So thanks for the question, Fred, and congratulations on avoiding a very common mistake right off the bat there. Many people buy a cheap, crappy tripod to begin with, and often use it for a number of years until they realize that it isn't helping and perhaps even sometimes hindering their photography. I did it with my first tripod some 20 years ago, and I used that tripod for around 12 years before I bought a decent one, with my old Manfrotto, that was. You went straight for the Really Right Stuff, so despite their high price, you've probably saved yourself some money by buying this right from the start. So that's great to hear. Over the years, I've managed to gather a little collection of tripods, two of which are not in this photo. But if you look at the photo that's on the screen now or on the blog, I'll use this to, first of all, walk you through what I currently use and the reasons why I ended up with each of these camera supports in my collection. From left to right, we have an old Jitso tripod fitted with a Wimberly head, which is a gimbal head that I use for long lenses. After that is a Really Right Stuff monopod, and then two Really Right Stuff tripods, the left one fitted with a BH55 and the right one fitted with a BH40 ball head. And then on the right we have a five series Jitso tripod that's fitted with a Manfrotto 519 fluid video head. The leftmost tripod is now 5 years old, over 5 years old, and superseded by other models, but this was a GT3540L. My first Jitso tripod is actually older than this, and although I still have it, I don't use it anymore, basically because it was made before Jitso introduced their anti-leg rotation system. So whenever you tighten or loosen the legs, quite often a different leg section would come loose and you would have to hold, the second leg section to stop that from rotating, and this basically drove me crazy. But the good thing about the first tripod was that I could get the camera not only to my eye level, but to get it there without using the fourth leg extension or leg section. So that was great. And one of my really right stuff tripods also does this though. So basically the old Jitso has been shelved. Actually, the GT3540L that we see in this photo is pretty much a backup tripod now. Although it's still very capable and a steady piece of kit, the reason that I replaced it was because one of the legs came loose and I had to send it in for repairs. The leg would just rotate without, with no way to stop it. So it became a bit of a difficult problem to work around. But the problem occurred just before, a couple of weeks before the 5-year warranty expired, and I was due to leave for my Pixels to Pigment tour in September 2012 before the repairs would be complete. So secretly, I was actually happy because I'd been hankering after a really right stuff tripod for a while, and this was a good chance or a good excuse to pick one up. Anyway, the main reason that the left Jitso is in this photo is to support the Wimberley head, which is still a very important piece of kit to my photography. As I explain in my latest Craft and Vision ebook, Sharpshooter, gimbal heads are extremely useful for supporting long lenses without the need to lock them down in any one position. A well-balanced gimbal head will allow you to move the camera around with one finger and stop wherever you let go of it. This is the closest that you can get to the freedom of handheld shooting without actually having to hold the weight of the camera and lens, which is why they're so useful with big heavy lenses like this. I also use a long lens support system from Really Right Stuff to support long lenses and stop them from shuddering from the vibration of the shutter unit. I covered this in Sharpshooter 2, and I'll be updating you as to whether or not I still find that necessary with the new 200 to 400 millimeter lens once I've had a chance to really use it in the field and put a full review together. What I do expect to be using more now with the 200 to 400 millimeter lens is a Really Right Stuff monopod. I owned a Manfrotto monopod some 8 years or so ago and used it a fair bit, but after a while it broke and it just locked up solid and couldn't be extended. And I hadn't really used it enough to warrant getting it fixed or buy a new one. I'm expecting that to change with the 200 to 400 millimeter lens, which is a bit too heavy to handhold, but won't always warrant a full tripod or a gimbal to support it. So, especially for fast-paced shooting and also from the boat where we shoot the eagles in Hokkaido, I won't be able to use a tripod there, but it would be way too heavy for hand-holding for, 2 hours or more that we shoot from the boat. Monopods are, of course, popular with sports photographers who need to support heavy glass, but have some, still need the freedom of hand-holding and shooting without the space required for a tripod and a gimbal head as well, which also require more time to move around and level. And time is usually not a luxury that sport photographers are afforded. Really Right Stuff currently do just one carbon fiber monopod, and that's the MC34. And I bought it with the MH02LR, which is the release lever head, which also allows you to tilt the camera up and down easily, and it can also be easily oriented parallel or perpendicular to the tilt of the head by unscrewing the index lock knob and rotating the clamp in 90 degree increments. This is useful if you sometimes use shorter lenses with a camera plate or an L bracket, as opposed to the longer lenses with a lens plate running in parallel to the lens. The MC34 at full extent gets the camera quite a way above my eye level, so it will be fine height-wise too. Again, I haven't really used this much yet, but I intend to really start using it with the 200 to 400 millimeter and possibly other lenses as well in the future. I'll let you know how I get on with this in a future episode. In September 2012, I released podcast episode 350, in which I discussed my Really Right Stuff tripod and the various L brackets and plates, tripod heads that I use to support my gear. For more information on plates and heads, etc., do take a look at that blog post and podcast. And again, you can get to that at mbp.ac/350. I'm not going to go into so much detail on that area today, but I do want to recap on some of the points of my TVC 3434L tripod from Really Right Stuff. And that's the second one from the left in the photo that we looked at earlier. And you also can see there that it has the TA3LB leveling base that I had it fitted with. In reality, this has become the tripod that I use the Wimberly head with, for the main reason that I can level the head in just a few seconds with the leveling base, rather than having to adjust the levelness of the head on the tripod by painstakingly adjusting the height of the bottom section of each leg. And of course, you know, just to note that you always shorten the tripods from the bottom thin leg sections first. Always extend the fatter sections before the thinner ones, because that maintains the rigidity of the tripod. For my winter wonderland tours this year, I actually just took the RRS TVC 34L tripod and both the BH55 ball head and the Wimberly head, and I switch between them as necessary. The gimbal for the bird photography with the 600mm lens and the BH55 for all of my landscape work. And this works really well, as I rarely do them both at the same time. I no longer take two tripods with me like I used to. Another thing to note here, as I mentioned earlier, is that the TVC 34L tripod, like my first Jitso, gets the camera to my eye level without having to extend the fourth leg section. And this is important in places like Hokkaido, because the snow can sometimes be so deep that you either need to attach snow feet to your tripod, which I really don't like to carry around, or allow the feet to sink into the snow. And this, of course, means if the tripod sinks very far, you can end up having to stoop to see through the viewfinder unless you sink as well. And that's not good. If you need to shoot for longer than a few minutes at a time, you really don't want to be stooping down, or you'll end up with a bad back. Having an extra leg section really helps to avoid that. I also don't use the center column with my tripods. I don't even buy tripods with them fitted anymore. And this means that if you need to get the camera way up in the air, tilted upwards, if you know, so that you can look up into the viewfinder, then you really need a little bit of extra height. And that's another reason for the longer tripod, the taller tripod. I don't use that center column purely for stability reasons. One pole is less stable than three. So you should always try to calculate the tripod height so that it gets the viewfinder into to eye level without figuring in the height of the center column. Having a tripod that's this high also allows you to use step ladders and shoot over the heads of crowds, etc., which is another benefit, especially if you shoot events and have the lens power to still get your shots from behind the crowd. Another reason I don't like to use the center column is because it stops you from easily going to ground level. Some manufacturers have tripods with center columns that swing out for easing low-level work, but I prefer to keep the camera in the middle of the tripod, and so I like to just go really low, as we can see in this photo. With my old Jitso, I used to be able to take the center column out and put it in upside down, hanging the camera underneath the tripod for low angles like this. And I quite like that for macro work, but I found more and more that I just wasn't doing that, preferring to actually just lie on the floor if I needed to and get lower, you know, if I needed to get down lower than I can with the Really Right stuff here. So I didn't worry too much about that when I bought the Really Right stuff tripod. When I was preparing for my Namibia trip, I decided it would be better to take a lighter tripod and head. So I picked up the Really Right Stuff TVC-23 tripod and a TA-3 LB leveling base and the BH-40 ball head that we can see in this photo. You can see from the first photo we looked at that this tripod and head is actually a shade longer than my other Really Right Stuff tripod because the leveling base has to be fitted on top of the TVC-23 tripod, but this combination weighs just 2.3 kilograms or 5 pounds, as opposed to 3.29 kilograms or 5.25 pounds for the TVC-34L with the BH-55 and the leveling base. That extra kilogram makes a lot of difference when you're trying to get your overall carry-on weight under 20k. And it was also nice to have the lighter tripod when walking any distance. Note too that if I really needed to shave off some extra weight and I could live without the leveling base, I could take that out, saving an extra 330 grams, which is 11.6 ounces, and the BH-40 actually then mounts flush to the top of the Really Right Stuff Versa Series 2 tripods. The BH-55 ball head has a load capacity of 23 kilograms or 50 pounds compared to the BH-40 at 8 kilograms or 18 pounds. But this means that even with the BH-40, it would support my 1DX and my old 600mm f4 lens weighing in at a total of 7 kilograms or 15.5 pounds. But that's the maximum load. You know, they're a little bit under the maximum load, but I wouldn't really advise using that combination, and neither do Really Right Stuff. Anything up to the 300mm f2.8 lens, for example, and a pro body would be fine with this combination. You know, the Series 2 legs with the BH-40. But I would probably go for the BH-55 and the Series 3 set of legs for anything heavier than that. But the BH-40 was fine. I didn't have any problems with that at all in Namibia, even when shooting multi-minute long exposures with my pro gear. It just all worked really, really well. It's always necessary to check the maximum load though. My tripod before my old Jitso, the old Jitso 3540L was, as I said earlier, a Manfrotto, and that got my viewfinder just to my eye with the legs fully extended, but without using that center pole, of course. And I haven't a clue what the maximum capacity of that lens, tripod was rated at. But it stopped supporting my gear when I got my first pro body, the 1DS Mark III, and the 300mm f2.8 lens. These were just too much for it. So that was when I bought the Jitso and the Really Right Stuff ball head, the BH-55, and I never looked back. I'm not going to go into detail on this either today, but the fourth tripod in my first photo that we looked at is a Jitso 5541LS. That's a big fat 5 series Jitso with a 75mm bowl adapter and the Manfrotto 519 fluid video head. This is a beast to carry around. I haven't weighed it, but it's probably almost 10 kilograms on its own. But it's an essential tool for shooting video. When you need to pan around smoothly and all of that, you know, these fluid heads are an essential tool. Since I bought this around 4 years ago now, though, there have been interesting fluid heads released from Manfrotto, Jitso, and now also Really Right stuff. So if I was buying now, I would probably have gone for something different, but, you know, just from a weight perspective. But when shooting video, this really, really is the way to go. So, you know, I'm not going to replace it anytime soon, but it's it probably would have done something differently had I bought this today. So that's what I use, with a little bit of information on why and when I use them interwoven. But to more thoroughly answer Fred's question, let's talk a little bit about my general guidelines for when I will use a tripod and when I don't. My general rule of thumb is to use a tripod unless it doesn't make sense to do so. What I mean is, my default mode is to use a tripod, but that doesn't mean that I use one all of the time, as my definition of makes sense is quite flexible. For example, if I go for a walk around a park alone, I will often use a tripod the entire time, unless I need to get really low, in which case I'll lie down and either put the camera on the floor or support it with my left hand and then rest that hand on the floor. Otherwise, I'm probably using a tripod. I find that using a tripod makes me think about my photography more. Unless I'm shooting a moving subject, I generally shoot landscapes and flowers, for example, in live view mode. I sometimes start by lining the shot up through the viewfinder and then switch to live view, and this helps me to see the world two-dimensionally, just as we will see it in the final image. I feel it's easier to fine-tune the composition of an image this way, rather than looking through the viewfinder the entire time, as in there, everything is still three-dimensional, and it's easier for our brains to correct things that we don't really notice until we see the image flattened into two dimensions. I can also zoom around on the viewfinder in live view and tweak my focus manually. I actually rarely use the autofocus in live view, except sometimes to quickly get me focused on something as I set up the shot, and then it's always tweaked while zoomed in live view before I release the shutter. The slower process also leads me to shoot less. I find that because I'm so happy with what I see when shooting from a tripod, I generally only shoot a handful of frames of each subject, unless I'm waiting for or trying to capture a critical moment when I might shoot more to increase my chances of capturing that moment. But generally, I shoot less, and that helps to get through your editing process more quickly and also just feels more like a craft. I'm certainly not saying that you shouldn't shoot lots of frames, because I go crazy with birds in flight or wildlife trying to get the absolute best pose. But when you can slow down, I think it helps your photography. I already noted that I use a tripod with a gimbal for very long lenses, and I will be trying the monopod again as I get out with the 200 to 400 millimeter more, but these two methods are really trying to bring us as close to handheld photography as possible. Following on from my walk in the park example, if I'm walking with my wife and it's supposed to be a walk in the park and not a photography shoot, then I will have a camera with me and shoot what I can, but rarely even take a tripod on these walks because it annoys the hell out of her. It's the same for what little street photography I do. I just want to be fast on my feet and have the camera ready to shoot, then just do it rather than spending the time to set up a tripod, which in most cases would take so long that you'd lose the shot anyway, unless you were sort of set up and ready waiting for a scene to unfold. But then you'd also draw attention to yourself as well, which you might not want to do. I have set up a tripod in the city before to do long exposures. With long exposure shots, be it nature or city photography, you obviously need a very stable tripod. This is one of the reasons why I buy such good quality tripods. I've seen so many people with flimsy tripods doing multiple second long exposures and then wondering why their images are soft. The camera has to stay perfectly still or it won't work. And the only way that you can make that happen is with a good firm tripod. You also need to use a cable release or a 2 second timer to get your hands away from the camera, etc. But I've covered all that in an earlier podcast, a dedicated podcast, so we won't go into that today again. I also like to shoot wildlife handheld, again, when it makes sense. If I'm shooting up to a medium telephoto, which in my books used to be something like my 300mm f2.8 lens with an extender, usually a 1.4 times, giving me a focal length of around 200, well, a focal length exactly 420mm. I also like to use the 70-200 f2.8, sometimes with an extender. And I'll pretty much always hand hold these lenses if the wildlife is moving around or I need to move around myself a lot to capture them from the best angle. If the wildlife is not moving a lot or the light is getting low, this means hand holding does not make sense anymore, so I might go back to the tripod. Of course, I might have waited for the light to get low so that I could use a slower shutter speed and do some panning. And I always hand hold for panning shots because the action needs to be, you know, the movement needs to be from the waist and not rotating around a tripod. So again, it's all about whether or not it makes sense to use a tripod. Again, I've done episodes dedicated to this, so just a quick word, but there are times when a tripod is the best way to do macro work. Even as we breathe, we tend to rock back and forth a little, so for very close macro work, I find it works best to use a tripod, especially if I'm using something like the twin lens strobe and additional off-camera flashes. I've done this handheld and it can be frustrating and sometimes just doesn't work at all, especially if you're trying to hold an off-camera flash in one hand and shoot with the other. I also use a tripod when doing focus stacking, especially for macro work. You don't want to have the camera moving around or Photoshop will have a job on its hands trying to align the images for you and it sometimes doesn't even work. Here's a shot of a spritz flower that I did a focus stack of to illustrate this technique in my latest book, Sharpshooter. There are times, of course, when you are trying to capture an insect, for example, flying from flower to flower, when you might want to go handheld. And with the IS-enabled macro lenses available now, it's certainly an option. Again, it's all about whether or not it makes sense to use the tripod, and sense is something that is very individual to each of us. I find that when I'm shooting in a studio with a full-blown studio lighting setup, I prefer to handhold, even if I'm shooting still life. Firstly, I'm usually shooting at a 200th or a 250th of a second, and the flash, the actual burst of the flash, is even faster than that, so camera shake isn't really an issue. If I need to really work the framing, I might spend the time to set up a tripod, but I usually like to move around a little freely, changing angles all the time, and working with various nuances that the slightly different angles can create. When shooting people in the studio, it's even more the case. I like to move around and interact, and as well as finding the various angles that really make the shot. So I never shoot people in the studio with a tripod. We all shoot differently though, so these guidelines are really just a summary of my shooting styles. You might find that using a tripod doesn't work for you in the same way that it does for me, or you prefer to use a tripod when I don't. It's really totally up to you. But if these guidelines spark any ideas in you, then it's probably worth having put this together. The most important thing, I think, is to shoot as much as you can, and this will help you to define your shooting style for the various subject types. So thanks very much for the questions that led to today's episode, Fred, and thanks very much to all of you for listening today. You remember that you can find me on Google Plus and Twitter, etc., and links to everything that I'm up to are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, and in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.